Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1111. This is your host, Danny Pena. And for this episode, we're going to interview the composer of Netflix original anime series called Dota Dragon's Blood. We're going to have Dino Menigan. And we had a great conversation overall about just him working on this project, how he got connected with Ashley Miller. For those who don't know, he is the show creator. He also worked on X-Men First Class and a couple other projects too. Dino worked on Lore, also that was on Amazon. Teen Wolf was also on MTV and a lot of other projects. So it was a great, great conversation overall. And please let me know your thoughts about this. And it was cool. It was a lot of fun recording this interview, and I can't wait to check out the anime series on Netflix. You know, I always love to see more of the video games content now, either live action or just anime now on Netflix. Like, it's good to see a lot of the streaming services are investing more of that, because that's content, that's great story and everything. So, but for you, the listener, are you excited to see this, to watch this series that airs next week, starting March 25th. Please let me know on social media. Just follow me at Godfrey. Remember, head over to GamertagRadio.com and listen to our past episodes. Make sure to share our content to your friends. Let people know about us, man. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. Once you find us, it pops up. Make sure to follow us, subscribe, or post your review. If you would like to be part of our fan mail episode or segment, here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, like I said, this was a great conversation I recorded about Dota's Dragon's Blood. The Netflix original anime series is launching March 25th. This is a podcast exclusive. For now, let's go straight to the interview, and we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Hey, this is Dino Menigan. I'm the composer on Netflix's new anime show, Dota 2 Dragon's Blood.
All right, first of all, Dino, thank you so much for being here on the show. But tell us how everything came about, how this project started, and how you got involved.
So I met the showrunner and executive producer, Ashley Miller. I met him when we were both working on a show called Lore that was on Amazon. And we actually didn't meet during the making of the show. We met afterward. And and when we met, he said, hey, you know, I enjoyed what you did on the show. And, you know, I'm doing this new thing with Netflix, and I think, you know, this, you might be really cool for it. So we met, I don't know, maybe 4 months later. We met in Studio City, and we talked about it. And I was not familiar at the time with Dota. And he explained it to me, and he explained the whole show to me. And I remember I came back, and my wife, Candace, asked me, she's like, so what's the show about? And I said, I don't know, I have no idea. It was hard to keep track of. I was like, I think there's some elves. And there's some multi-dimensional stuff. I don't really know. That took me a while to get my head around the whole thing. But he had explained to me, what he was thinking about. And then I at that meeting, I pitched him some ideas about, you know, what I thought the score could be. And he liked some of those ideas. And so then I actually said, do you have an animatic? An animatic is like a rough animation.
Mm-hmm.
That rather than, you know, rendering everything out and making it all super pretty, it's basically kind of like almost like a storyboard. Mm-hmm. And it's like a moving storyboard. And so I said, do you have an animatic or some stills I could look at? And he sent me this one scene that's in episode 3. And I just wrote, and it was like maybe a 4 or 5 minute scene, and I just wrote the whole thing. I said, this is what I'm thinking of. And he really liked it. And so that sort of cemented our relationship on it.
Yeah. Let's talk about the process of you working on this music for the anime series. Cause I know one of the things that you mentioned, you didn't want to do the same exact thing as like the game. You wanted something different, different environment. So tell us, for the listeners who are listening to this podcast right now, how that came about, like, just the producing these tracks and why it's not the same as the original from the game?
Well, I mean, you know, a big part of this for me was making sure that I respected the game and respected the, I mean, there's millions of people who love this game and who've spent years and years with it. Obviously, you don't want to just come in and say, okay, well, this is what we're doing now. So I actually talked to Tim Larkin, who is at Valve, and he wrote a lot of the music for the game.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to him not just about the music he had written, but I talked to him about, I said, like, you know, what are some of the themes you've written that really resonate with the players, and how does music function in the game?
Mm-hmm.
And so we talked a lot about that. And then he actually incorporated some of Tim's themes into the score for the show, as kind of, some of them are kind of like Easter eggs, you know, you'll walk into a bar and all of a sudden there's a theme playing from the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, some group in the bar is playing. But you know, my goal with the show was to do something different. Because I wanted to, because the show is different from the game. I felt like if we had, you know, a similar score to the game, it would sort of invite comparisons. And really, for a couple of reasons why we did the score the way we did. But the, you know, one of the main things was that I wanted people who were familiar with the game to be able to enjoy it, but also to see it as a separate piece, not as sort of like, you know, I felt like if we did something very close to what the game had done, A, you know, done a great job on the music in the game already. There's no reason for me to redo it. Mm-hmm. And B, you know, it, like I said, it's sort of, then you're kind of looking at it going, well, it sort of is like what I know, but it's not really like what I know. And it's almost more kind of cognitively dissonant. You know, if one thing is sort of the same, but the rest isn't. That makes sense.
Are you a gamer? Have you played Dota before? Or was this a way for you to start trying to play Dota for the first time?
What I did, you know, I started to play the game, and I realized that that was going to be a really long process.
I see that.
And you know what I mean? And, you know, I have a 2-month-old and a toddler. And, you know, and it's COVID, so everything's kind of compressed for time anyway. So I knew I wasn't going to have enough time to really get deep into the game playing it. So what I actually did is I played it a little bit, but then what I did is I watched a lot about the lore. You know, Sir Action Slacks has all those explainers on the lore. And that was kind of what I tried to do, is actually just get into the lore of it and try to understand a player's perspective on what these characters mean. That I thought would be, you know, maybe more useful than me just sort of, you know, to what I'm trying to do in terms of telling the story than me just playing the game. I felt like it was, what I needed to understand was, what does Mirana mean to the players? What does Davion mean? Mm-hmm. What do all these characters, what are the Radiant and the Dire mean to the character, to the players, so that when we're using those elements in the story, that, mm-hmm. you know, it makes sense to somebody who's, you know, been living in this world.
Yeah. So how long you've been working on this soundtrack overall for the anime series?
He started, I mean, it, you know, it went through different phases. We spent last year, for part of the year last year, you know, we were doing a lot of sort of development stuff. So we were, you know, I would just send Ashley ideas, you know, sketches, you know, like, what do you think about this theme for Davion? Or, you know, what about this theme? And did a lot of sort of the nice thing about, this is the first time I've ever worked in animation, mm-hmm. And working with, you know, getting to work with Studio Mir is, you know, awesome. Friend Jeremy Zuckerman did all the music for, you know, him and Ben Wynn did all the music for Legend of Korra. They're great. Their music for that show was just so good. So, I mean, getting to work with, you know, a studio like Mir was really great. But one of the nice things about, you know, about animation, as opposed to doing, let's say, like a show where you're delivering like a weekly, you know, 40 minutes a week, on like a standard cable show or something, mm-hmm. because animation takes so much time, there's rendering and there's, you know, redoing things, and there's a lot of lead time. So we actually had a lot of time on the front end to really flesh out some ideas. So we kicked things back and forth a lot, sort of on and off last year. Not in full production, but just sort of like, here, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? What do you think about this? Mm-hmm. And I would say we got into production September of last year,
I think. Okay,
like full production. So it's really great. Studio Mir has been awesome to work with. Ashley has been just a pleasure to work with. It's just what's been really great about this and about working with Ashley and with Studio Mir is that they both kind of gave me a lot of runway. So like I would pitch some crazy idea to Ashley and he'd say, all right, let me hear it. And nobody, you know, I think maybe Mir and, you know, they were kind of like, okay, well, you know, we were kind of imagining this might be more of a typical sort of a score that's more typical to the genre of sort of fantasy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Ashley and I had talked a lot about it and we had both said we wanted the score to, I felt like if we did a kind of a fantasy score, you know, typical of, you know, with kind of a more traditional orchestration and stuff like that, that's been done a million times and it's been done, you know, lots of people have done it better than I could ever do it. But B, it's sort of like one of my goals with this was to take Oda, bring it to a new audience, bring it to people who hadn't necessarily seen the game, hadn't been playing it. And, you know, I felt like that, you know, if we went with sort of a traditional sort of fantasy score, anybody who wasn't familiar with the game would just see it and go, oh, it's a fantasy thing. And kind of, you know, if fantasy is not their bag, then they just tune it out.
Yeah.
So, you know, we felt like by having a score that makes somebody go, well, this is not what I typically associate with this genre. Our hope was that they would go, okay, well, let me see what else is different about this show. And the other thing is, we also wanted to really, the reason we did it that way, it was very deliberate. It was a kind of a synth heavy score and to try to use, you know, some experimental sounds and things that didn't necessarily, you know, when you hear a French horn, you know that, you know, the hero's there. You know, when you hear a cello, you know that it's either something romantic or something noble. And, you know, and when you open up into the world of sort of synthesis, you can create sounds that don't have that kind of baggage with them. And you can, it leaves the listener a little more free to kind of bring their own associations to it. And so we wanted to take Dota out of, we didn't want to put it in a certain time. We wanted it to be sort of very out of space and out of time so that people watching it, you know, could feel like it was happening right now, or it could be happening, you know, 3,000 years ago or 3,000 years in the future.
Yeah, so I know you mentioned that when you started working on this with Ashley, you said you had a crazy idea. What was that? Because there's going to be a lot of people that don't know what you mean by that. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, you know, like nothing that most of us do is, you know, when I say crazy, I don't want to sound like I'm the first guy who ever thought to do any of this stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, we all kind of, you know, build on what everybody else does. You know, so one of the first conversations that Ashley and I had was about, we were talking about the show, and I said, you know, for the action scenes, instead of having like big, you know, orchestral drums and things, what if we had like just like a hard style kick, like build on that? I did a couple of pieces kind of based on that, and that actually ended up coming this long scene that's in 103 in the third episode, that was sort of the first piece that everyone sort of got excited about and said, okay, wow, this is cool, we can do something new. There are plenty of places in the show where we are using more traditional orchestration because it made sense. You know, when we first started, I kind of said like, let's try to avoid any traditional orchestration. And it ended up being that it just sort of, it felt a little forced. So now we kind of have certain areas where we rely a lot heavier on synths and process sounds and things. And then some areas where we rely more heavily on the orchestra or acoustic instruments.
So how many overall per episode of tracks that you worked on for the anime series too?
No, I mean, it's about 20 minutes, you know, 20 to 23 minutes of music per episode. You know, on an hour show, you do double that. And, you know, mm-hmm. like we used to do, I mean, you know, we're lucky in this show in that, like I said, because of the animation, we have a little bit longer than we would have if, you know, let's say this was a show on like, you know, also because it's Netflix, if this was a show that was on a cable network and we were just doing 40 minutes of music a week, that's a much different process. Mm-hmm. And there isn't as much time to sort of, sometimes, you know, we have time to make mistakes. So we can actually swing, you know, kind of swing for the fences. Sometimes it doesn't work. That's sometimes how you get the most interesting stuff.
Yeah.
That's been what's very different about this show than anything else I've done, is that we kind of have a lot of leeway because there's a little more time in between episodes. There's more time to screw up if something just doesn't sit right.
Yeah, Dino, you mentioned of other projects that you worked on before Dota anime series, because I know there's a lot of listeners that are probably curious about your work. Can you tell us a little bit about that too?
Well, things that people don't know, I played guitar with Engelbert Humperdinck on 3 Days in Florida.
Oh, that's good.
That's something not a lot of people know. Fun fact, his crew calls him Hump Diddy. The first show that I did, I scored, was a show called Teen Wolf that was on MTV, and that ran for like 6 seasons. We did about a little over 100 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, the first thing I did. And then I did a show called Eye Candy that was also on MTV. The reality show before that, I did a show called Lore that was on Amazon. That was how I met Ashley. I did a movie called Killing Gunther with Taron Killam from Saturday Night Live and Arnold Schwarzenegger. And nice. Which was a really fun, goofy movie. I've been gotten to do some really great short films that some of the some of the writers that I work with. There's a great film I just did called Prom with Angela Harvey. So I've been I'm really grateful and to keep working and to keep working with people that I really like.
Do you think this has been like the most challenging project they ever done for you since you started producing music?
In a certain way, yes, because we actually had so much freedom. It took me a while to sort of like go, well, if I can do anything, if the door is wide, like nobody really shut the door on anything at the beginning. So it actually took a while to sort of like, I was kind of like, okay, like how do I, they're giving me all this freedom. Like, how do I make it so it, you know, doesn't suck? And you know, I don't want to just, I, you know, you're kind of, in a certain way, I felt a certain amount of pressure just because I was like, well, they're giving me all this, actually like listening to me and letting me do stuff. I don't want to just knock out a score. Like I want to like try to really, you know, push what I can do and kind of push the areas that I can in telling the story. So it hasn't, I mean, it's challenging in that respect. It, you know, in terms of there's other shows that I've, that sometimes you work in a situation where it's either there's a time crunch or it can be really challenging. And you know, we occasionally run into that here. You know, there's always never enough time, but you know,
yeah.
We certainly have enough time to make it good. So, yeah, I mean, I think this, it's the best kind of challenging. It's really challenging. We don't use a temp track on this show. So for, you know, for people listening at home, a temp track is when you're editing a show, when the editors have it in the edit bays, they'll usually lay in temp track, which is just temporary music. It's not the music that's going to air on the show. Might be things that, if you're lucky, it's stuff that maybe the composer has done for other projects or maybe even other episodes of the same show. You know, but it might be, you know, something from the latest blockbuster that the executive producer fell in love with or whatever. And a lot of times you kind of come into a situation and people already have an idea of like, well, this is what we want the music to be. You have to sort of find your way within that. How do I make something unique and interesting while still kind of hitting these marks that they want? But with this show, I haven't had that problem because we don't have a temp track. So our spotting process is, you know, Ashley and I will basically just watch the episodes down dry with no music and we'll just talk about the music. Our spotting sessions are mostly talking about how the characters function, how the story functions, and how the music should function within that. There's very little in the way of specifics that he gives me. Once I write the music, then he'll say, I like this or you know, this, but like at the, you know, at the outset, Ashley has a great way of sort of, once you're on the team, then he trusts you and goes, okay, do your thing. And that's been really, you know, that's great.
You know, someone from the outside, I think the most exciting part of all this is just seeing their fans' reaction, because they've been playing this for years, right? And they're going to watch the series for the first time on Netflix. They're going to listen to your music for the first time there too. As you, as a person that worked on this project, like how excited are you to just read and just see the fan reactions online, man?
I'm really excited. I mean, you know, I've had shows that I worked on where there was a previous version of it. And then, you know, we did something different and then people didn't like it. Like, this is not the thing that I loved. And, you know, I really want this. We took a lot of care. And I tried to take a lot of care with the music to make it something that respected the world of Dota while, you know, also kind of hopefully bringing something interesting and new to it. But you know, that's what I hope. I hope that when people see it at, you know, not just the music, but that they, you know, they kind of see the show and they feel like that we are adding to the world of Dota. Not that we're just sort of taking the Dota doll and taking it over here and doing whatever we want. That's my hope. I hope people feel kind of respected and because we tried really hard to do that.
Yeah, and for those that would like to know other projects or they want to follow updates about you, where is like the best place that people could follow you? social media, website, and so on?
Well, they can check out my website, which I probably need to update. It's at it's just my name, dinomenighin.com, dinomenighin. I'm on Twitter at @m_LA. And I have there's a Dino Menighin Facebook composer page.
All right, man. Just want to say thanks, man. It was a great conversation. I had a lot of fun, and I can't wait for the series, man, coming out next week, March 25th on Netflix.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And thank you for taking the time to talk with me.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, first of all, I want to give a shout out to Dino. Thank you so much. That was a great, great conversation. A lot of fun. Very laid back. And I can't wait for the listeners to not only listen to this episode, but also watch the series on Netflix. And please let me know your thoughts. Again, here's how you can contact us and be part of our FAML episode or segment.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, thanks to everyone for listening to this episode of Gamertag Radio. We'll be back next week with more content, more surprises, and get ready. There's going to be some cool stuff coming up, man. Cool stuff. Also, very quick, you guys could also check me out on the latest episode of S-Cast. Most likely, by the time you listen to this, you will watch me or hear me on the podcast there. I'm going to be there with Mike and also with Paris. And we're going to be talking about a lot of the Xbox news that have been coming out all this week. And also, I'm going to talk about it, too, on the next episode of Gamertag Radio with Paris on Sunday. So stay tuned. Tune in to our Twitch channel. That's going to be live recording 9:30 Pacific. And that's on this Sunday. Also, for those who are following me right now on Twitter, I'm going to be streaming Phantasy Star Online 2. New Genesis closed beta all weekend long. If you missed it, don't worry, it's going to be there on video on demand. You could just watch it. Let me know your thoughts. I'm also going to post it on my YouTube channel there, and I'm planning to post also clips of my experience of the game on Twitter. So make sure to follow me, Godfrey, GODFREE. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you for listening. Until next time, I'm out. Take care, y'all.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.